John chapter 18, verses 28 to 40. This is the second discourse on this passage, under the title, Christ's Good Confession, before Pilate, of course. And I draw that from 1 Timothy chapter 6, and verse 13, where the apostle tells Timothy that Christ made the good confession, witnessed before Pilate with the good confession. Now, if you've been following these discourses, you will know in the first look at this passage, I spoke on Christ's person. In this discourse, I want to speak on Christ's office. And in the third and final discourse on this passage, I want to speak on Christ's kingdom. I repeat what I've said many times. These are brief discourses. There's far, far more in these passages than I am bringing out. I'm just laying down some markers, some indications of what is here. The person of Christ, the office of Christ, and the kingdom of Christ. Today then, in this discourse, Christ's office. Now Christ has three offices. He is prophet, priest, and king. But in this passage, and indeed in this whole section of scripture, the kingship of Christ rises paramount in this trial. Christ is king. You see, it's all a question of rule and kingship and authority, law and governance, right and power here. Think about it. We have Pilate. Now, surely he is the one who possesses authority and power here. And behind him, of course, is the might, the legal might of Imperial Rome. The Jews, too, have their law and their authority, the law of Sinai, the law of Moses, the law of God given on Sinai. So, is it Pilate? Is it Rome? Is it the Jews? No. The king standing here is Christ. And that's the major issue in this section. Let me prove it to you. Verse 33. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" This is the question. I'm standing for Imperial Rome. Are you the king? Are you the king of this rabble? Is this an insurrection against Imperial Rome? Are you a king? Are you the king of the Jews? Verse 37. "You are a king then," said Pilate. And Christ says, "You are right in saying, I am a king." And then again in verse 39. Pilate asked the Jews, "Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" King, king, king comes over and over in this passage. It doesn't stop. Go into chapter 19. Verse 2, the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns. Crowns are for kings. Verse 3, they go up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, king of the Jews." You see, his kingship. Verse 5. When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns. You see, it's the crown again. Verse 12. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar. That's what the Jews cry out. Verse 14. Here is your king. And so it goes on and on. Verse 15, "Shall I crucify your king? We have no king but Caesar." Verse 19, what did Pilate write and fasten to the cross? This notice, "Jesus of Nazareth, the king of the Jews." And the Jews fasten onto this. Don't write that he said, don't write the king of the Jews, but write that he claimed to be the king of the Jews. It's all a question of kingship. If you read this out loud, this section of scripture, you're sure to hear king, 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 kingdom, king, coming over and over again. So I ask the question again. Who is the real king here? Pilate? Rome? Jews? Annas? Caiaphas? Christ. Christ is the king. And they all know it. It's all a question of power. Chapter 19, verse 11. Jesus told Pilate, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above." Christ is king. Come back to chapter 18. It comes over and over here, again and again. Verse 36, "My kingdom," says Christ. "I am a king," he says plainly, in verse 37. Indeed, he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as the book of Revelation says. Now, I come from the United Kingdom. For 300 years now, we have had a constitutional monarchy. I admire the Queen and respect her and all the rest of it. But all the pomp and show, all the money involved, coming into the country and being spent on the royal house, it's all got the trappings of kingship, monarchy, but it's all a sham, a charade. It's just constitutional. It's window dressing. The Queen has some influence by reason of her experience, tradition, constitution, and so on. But the fact of the matter, the reality is, the power lies elsewhere. She is just a figurehead. Not so with Jesus. He really is the King of Kings. "I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision." Psalm 2, a major psalm. Psalm 2 plays heavily into all this. And of course it leads to the book of, the final book of the Bible, the Revelation. Let me read a few verses from the Revelation to show you how kingship, the kingship of Jesus, is paramount. We have 11:15, Revelation 11:15. "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever." Yes, these are prophecies. But the prophecy is of Christ as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and his everlasting reign is declared here. That's Revelation 11:15. Now Revelation 17 and verse 14. "They will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them, because he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings." And then of course you go into chapter 19 and verse 11 and onwards. The glorious reign and rule and dominion of King Jesus. So back to chapter 18 of John. Here we see King Jesus. But does he appear a king here? Here he stands, in abject humiliation. He's already been humiliated under Annas and Caiaphas, now under Pilate, then in the guard room, and then hanging upon the cross. Is he really King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Yes. He could call for 12 legions of angels to deliver him. He has the power here. But why then is he standing here being humiliated, mocked, scorned, spat upon, tormented, tortured, crucified? Because of his grace and love for sinners, his mercy, to stand in the place of sinners and bear the wrath of God for their sin, and to deliver them from all the condemnation of God by bearing it himself. It's not so much the Jews and Annas, Caiaphas, and Pilate, and so on. God is here also. And he will forsake his son upon the cross, because his son will be bearing the sin of all his people. But Christ does reign. He does rule. It is not apparent today, I know. But it wasn't apparent here in John 18, was it? It wasn't apparent hanging on the cross, was it? But he was king then. He always is king. He's king on the cross. He's king standing in Annas' rooms with Caiaphas, in Pilate's hall, in the guard room, and hanging, dying on the cross. King, King Jesus. Let us sound his kingship, brother and sister. His law, his rule, his governance, his power, his name, his authority. Let us submit to his law, delight in his law, obey his law, serve him, proclaim him. Oh, unbeliever, this man that you despise, whose name you take as blasphemous oath upon your lips without thinking, this man is King of kings and Lord of lords, and your knee will bow to him, and your tongue will confess that he is Lord. Oh, do it now for salvation. Know him now as your Savior and Lord. Yield to him. Trust him. Trust his blood and righteousness. His blood to wash you from your sins. His righteousness to clothe you. Brother and sister, let us go on sounding the name of Jesus, preaching the kingship of Jesus, the authority of Jesus. Yes, we have to have faith to believe it. Christ reigns. It is not apparent, but he is in sovereign control, as he was here in Pilate's hall. Let me close with a hymn by Isaac Watts. I wonder if you know it. He speaks of awful glories in this hymn. He means full of awe, full of amazing wonder. He's speaking of God in Psalm 2, really. He's speaking of Christ. Listen to him. The Lord Jehovah reigns, and royal state maintains, his head with awful glories crowned, arrayed in robes of light, begirt with sovereign might, and rays of majesty around. Upheld by thy commands, the world securely stands, and skies and stars obey thy word. Thy throne was fixed on high before the starry sky. Eternal is thy kingdom, Lord. In vain the noisy crowd, like billows fierce and loud, against thine empire rage and roar. In vain with angry spite the surly nations fight, and dash like waves against the shore. Let floods and nations rage, and all their powers engage. Let swelling tides assault the sky. The terrors of thy frown shall beat their madness down. Thy throne forever stands on high. Thy promises are true. Thy grace is ever new. There fixed, thy church shall ne'er remove. Thy saints with holy fear shall in thy courts appear, and sing thine everlasting love. And that is the point. King Jesus here is humiliated because of his love for us, brother and sister. You are a king then, said Pilate. You are right in saying, I am a king.